This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On this episode of The Live Feed, we continue our coverage of Boats and Bluegrass 2012 with a band from way up north. Lowbridge is comprised of two husband and wife duos, one from Minnesota and the other from Wisconsin. When they get together, they play Appalachian-style music that they describe as a danceable kitchen porch sound with a crunchy soul. Today we will find out how the group formed, how they each discovered music for themselves, and more. You're listening to The Live Feed with Adam Lush and Ryan Mingone.
All right, can I just start off by having you introduce yourself and tell me what you do in the band?
Okay, I'm Clancy. I play the fiddle and the mandolin and the bass on one tune.
And my name is Tom. I play guitar and banjo.
I'm Brandy and I do fiddle and bass.
And I'm Sarah and I also play guitar and banjo.
Can you just describe like the style of music that you guys are playing?
Most of it is derived from Southern and mostly Southern Appalachian old-time music and songs from like this Appalachian region of the South. And then we also do some modern covers of stuff and then some originals as well. So kind of a mix.
So what does this Appalachian style of music bring to the music scene that's around here in Minnesota? What do you bring to this mix of bluegrass and country and Southern music?
We're all fighting for that. We got it to say dance because I guess we met at Mabatma, but you know what we have all in common is we love dance, playing for dances square dancing, you know, just a really solid beat and being kind of interactive with the crowd is sort of what drives
more
us.
More as a service to the dancers. The music serves the dancers rather than it as a performance itself. Like, we do like singing and stuff, and that's why we do this band, is our chance to sing, but really we love making music for people to dance to.
And I also feel like this kind of music is kitchen porch music, and it's accessible. It's not a flashy, real technical style. It's got more, I call it crunchy soul. And I think that's a nice side of music when you've got a lot of highly technical, polished bands. This can bring it all back home.
And it's more about being together than about being individually technically excellent. More about being a group.
The other thing about like what Sarah said, calls kitchen porch music is, and being accessible to everybody, relates to the square dance music scene or even contra dance music scene, because you have the three elements. You have the dancers, the caller, and the band, and they're all working together to make something happen. And no one's just a bystander watching, unless you don't want to dance, but even so, they're interacting with everything. So,
how is being at a festival like this different from maybe some other shows that you guys have done in the past?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say about half of our... Sarah and I are both dance callers, and so a lot of times, like, Brandy, Clancy, and I will play while Sarah calls, or I'll go out and call, and the three of them will play. In some ways, you guys have a honky-tonk band also, so you do sort of performance, but for Brandy and I, it's a little bit of a stretch to perform to, like, a seated audience, you know. Most of my experience and comfort in front of groups of people is when they're dancing. But
I love playing this type of atmosphere almost most of all because you have an audience that's like been thrown a lot of music all day long and all night long, and then especially if you come in the middle of it like we have, you just have these people that are saturated already, you know, and so they're willing to take something else, and they're here, and it's like a wrapped audience, you know, a ready-made audience. So it's nice, actually, because you get to throw stuff that maybe you wouldn't normally throw at other people, like in a small cafe environment where you might have two or three people sitting there. You're like, well, I don't know.
It happens.
So anyway, yeah, totally.
This is an old tune called Rowley and Spencer. Somebody may have heard it, but it's a really old tune. And as soon as Sarah gets the banjo tuned up properly,
thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about like how you guys got into music and when you first started playing music.
I played classical piano as a kid, but when I realized I wasn't good enough to go big time, I kind of turned to folk music, and that turned out to be a lot more my style. I started with guitar and moved on to banjo. Clancy and I met each other playing at Old Time Jams out in Portland, Oregon, and it feels like a good road to walk down. You never stop learning.
I also played piano when I was a kid, and then kind of stopped in college because I didn't have a piano around. And then I thought, I want to play a stringed instrument, and I never really found what I wanted. And then Tom had his old sister's three-quarter size violin in the attic, and he brought it down. He's like, hey, why don't you try this? And then for about a year later, it was really painful, and I was about 20 at that time, and really painful for about a year, and then it started being really fun. We played in a jam, you know, some jams around Duluth, and then we started getting involved in the dance scene too. So yeah, as dancers and then as players.
Yeah, this is Tom, and I used to save my paper up money and buy Led Zeppelin LPs, and it was all about Led Zeppelin and rock, and I really liked that. And then I discovered bluegrass, and a buddy of mine picked up a banjo, and his teacher said, come out to this festival. And I was like, wow, so much fun to be able to sit around the campfire. No one has to plug in. Anyone who can carry an instrument, you can just play it, and it's just right there. And then I also loved it because there's no drum set, you know. A lot of times I just sometimes feel like rock sits on the drum sets, and bluegrass and now old-timey, everyone's got to carry that rhythm. Everyone's in charge, and so it's just a shared responsibility. I really love that. So then I enjoyed bluegrass for a long time, and then I just drifted kind of over to what I call this, you know, dance-based, old-timey stuff. For the same reason Sarah was talking about, I felt like, you know, I wasn't as interested in the utter perfection technical stuff as just getting down and playing good music. You know?
And building a community.
And building a community, yeah, really.
I played violin as a kid, but then kind of stopped early and played in rock bands with the violin, you know, just kind of adding what I could to bands. And then me and a friend of mine discovered a fellow named Charlie Poole in the North Carolina Ramblers, and it was an old band from the 20s that played song music and some vaudeville stuff, and so we tried to emulate him, and so I picked that old time music up that way. And so we played in that band for many years and didn't really get into dance music for a little bit, but, you know, so kind of both carry over, you know.
Every inch of the way from Albany to Buffalo.
So how would you define this genre of, like, this Appalachian style music? What really classifies you into there?
The instrumentation, fiddle, banjo.
Fiddle and banjo for sure.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is extra.
Well, people have been calling this music old-time music even when it was new to them. Back in the 20s and before that, it was always old-time music. And you talk about traditional Norwegian and Scandinavian music, and it's called old-time music. So it's just a term for traditional folk music, I think. Tunes that have been passed down through generations, and then there's all this other stuff that we like to just throw in as filler as well. So
you play a lot of traditional songs that have already been written. Like, I heard Erie Canal in there. That's one that a lot of people know. Do you still write your own music, or is it mostly all traditional songs?
We had maybe 3 originals in our set today, and I think maybe a tenth of what we play is original. It's kind of irresistible to throw your own mark on the music, but...
Well, every musician deserves to still, you know. But do you still go along with that style, that old-time kind of style of music, or do you deviate from it when you write your own music?
Good question. I mean, I wrote a few of those, and I like to try and stay in the pocket of it. But I found I wanted to write old-timey music, and then I would just write bluegrass and rock songs. And now, like, how long have I been doing this stuff?
Time.
It took about, like, 8 years of just being, like, steeped. And now I feel like, you know, in some ways that Lost Boat is, and then the Matt 20, for sure, I feel really good about that. It's in the pocket of where I want to be writing, yeah.
So what's the subject matter of the songs that you write? Is there like a common theme in the subject matter, or is it storytelling, narratives? What is it exactly?
Oh, that's a good question. Go for it.
Sometimes our songs have a narrative or topic that has almost been lost. It's almost the ghost of it left, and it might not be perfect because of the way it's been passed down. Pieces are missing, and it kind of gets an ethereal quality. You hear phrases repeated in a lot of songs. Who's going to shoe your pretty little foot is, you know, in so many songs in different iterations. And
it almost doesn't make sense now. I mean, a lot of the lyrics don't make sense in this context.
But it has a real...
But it means something.
Yeah, I think because it comes from an older time, they're very tangible and physical lyrics that speak to our real basic needs for love and whiskey and...
Chickens.
Rabble-rousing and, yeah, livestock, making a living.
All that good stuff that makes us humans.
Yeah.
I'll throw in, like, an example is there's a fiddle tune called Pig's Foot. And then someone...
Pig's Foot a little closer.
Yeah, no, I was like, that's just a nickname. The real name is Shove That Pig's Foot Further Into the Fire. And, of course, I'm thinking, yeah, you got, like, a pig shank and you're stuffing it in there and you're roasting pig on an open fire. Well, I was totally wrong. Later I learned that the pig's foot is a blacksmithing tool. And like, I was just like, that's the story I thought of when Sarah was talking. Get these little, like... hiccups and clues into a world that's, you know, no longer part of our reality.
Yeah, it's like a very contextual thing. It's strange in our context of playing here today.
This is a loop, not a Delmore Brothers song?
It's a Delmore Brothers song.
$15. serve you right. Put one on the right, the other on the left. My name's in John, serve you right. Then the other Tammy overheard, said, why not me? I'll serve you right. Put me on the right, the other on the left. The judge will serve you day and night.
So you guys are from Duluth, right? Based in Duluth as a band? Or?
Sure. Brandy and I have a house in Duluth, but Sarah and Clancy are on the North Shore.
South Shore.
Okay. South Shore.
Of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay. Yep.
Do you guys play a lot of shows in Minnesota then, or just all around?
What do you think? We play most of our shows in Duluth, yeah.
So how's the scene in Duluth then?
You know, I was shocked. There's Boats and Bluegrass. I look at the lineup, and it seems like a full third of bands are from Duluth, and I'm pretty proud of that, I have to say. And I'm also like, well, that's why it's so hard to get gigs. There's a lot of competition up there. But I think it's just great. A lot of inspiration. It was really, like, Brandy and I were really honored to have Charlie Parr ask us to be on a CD. And then the Turtles mandolin player shows up at our kids' dances. He brings his kids to dance at the church on a Sunday afternoon. And there's a lot of give and take. Another buddy of ours, Bill Isles, writes. And it's really nice. There's a lot going on. And
cool. So I was speaking to some other musicians who are from Duluth around here, and they say that, you know, there's a big kind of insurgence in folk kind of music or that kind of thing. And he said a lot of the influence came from Bob Dylan, and there's still some trickle down from that huge folk thing that routed from Duluth. Do you think there's any relation there, or what do you think about that?
Well, I think Duluth can't shut up about Bob Dylan, and there's a good reason for it, and I don't know.
But I can't help but go, hadn't thought of that, you know? Like,
yeah. But, you know,
a long time ago,
2 hours of our radio week is devoted entirely to Bob Dylan.
Really?
Yeah, and I love it, personally. But it's kind of, I don't know.
You gotta give people some credit for standing on their own feet at a certain point, you know, because he stood on his own feet and he created some really good music. But there's some people in Duluth right now, bands, and that
totally
are doing their own thing.
They're
inspired by him, but they can't give him all the credit because they're doing what they got to do, and we're doing what we got to do. So
and the it seems like there's an increase in banjos in general in Duluth, like the number of banjos, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things with banjos.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's a good
instrument
for cold weather or something.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, you know, like Dylan didn't play banjo.
No.
So I don't know.
So I guess you could.
So what is that?
We're gonna go back to Appalachia, climb old Sugar Hill for you.
Thank you.
have you all toured? Have you toured pretty far away from Minnesota? Or?
Well, we are two husband and wife duos. Okay. So as well as this band, we play separately too. And Clancy and I, mostly we play in Wisconsin. But we have gone out west and played in Oregon and South Dakota. And we went on a big tour out to East Grand Forks a couple years ago.
Right. East Grand Forks tour.
That was pretty good. So
you must have some good stories. Do you have any like crazy weird shows or like every band has those strange shows or some weird experience?
Sarah and I played in Rockerville, South Dakota on a Tuesday night with these folks set up this show. And we're like, all right, it's in
cinder block community building in the shadow of Mount Rushmore, right? Ooh. These people built it. There's like a cross stitch framed thing on the wall of square dancers. Anyway,
and we showed up with our two little babies and at the time, and these folks had pulled together, you know, what, 100 people?
Nice.
Came out to this little cinder block building on a Tuesday night.
Own cookies.
Oh. Yep. And nice. And we had it was like one of the best shows I think I've ever played
that
at.
Sounds great. Nice. Sounds like a really intimate kind of environment.
Yeah, but just on a Tuesday, you know, and in the middle of winter.
That helps actually,
Rushmore.
Strangely.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Winter helps.
Sometimes, yeah.
I got a plug in Fort Wayne. Sarah and Clancy do a great job. They host a donut fry. Last Saturday of February, Fort Wayne Town Hall. Come on out. Oh, they do a great job with it, and there's folks from Ashland to Duluth and farther, and it's just, you know, cold, you've been bundled up, and then everyone just gets into this town hall and dances and just kind
of donuts.
Yeah. We eat some lard and dough. Yeah, it's great.
And then burn it off.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so if anyone listening wanted to contact you or buy one of your albums or anything, is there anywhere they could do that?
Yeah.
Your website?
Well, Brandy and I, when we're a twosome, call ourselves 4 Mile Portage. And I've got a link there to slash that. We've got a little Facebook group, but probably you'd find us quicker through 4mileportage.com.
Okay.
Thank you guys. I'm just so glad that, you know, I just really value local radio, and I appreciate the work you're doing and all the volunteers for this festival. It's just, we're really glad to be a part, and it's an honor to be up on the stage. I know it's a lot going on. I've been on the other end of what goes on other than picking up my guitar, so.
Yeah.
We're just real honored to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks for playing, and thanks for doing the interview. Have a nice night.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We're just going to do, we're going to hold the woodpile down. We're going to hold the woodpile down.
Here's a silly song from Uncle Dave Macon. It's about moonshining. Everybody ready?
Yep.
It's okay. Saw my love the other night.
Hold the woodpile down.
Everything wrong, just nothing was right.
Hold the woodpile down.
Look, it made me happy.
Hold the whip-pile down.
I kissed her once and in comes her pappy.
Held the whip-pile down.
But it was traveling as long as the world goes round.
Take a backyard shine on the Georgia line.
Hold the whip-pile down. Come to town the other night.
Hold the whip-pile down.
See the little nose hurdle and fight.
Hold the whip-pile down.
Traveling, traveling, as long as the world goes round.
Drink a backyard shine on the Georgia line.
Sarah on the vocals. Nice
Thanks
work.
A lot, everybody. Have a good time.
Willow Bridge. Thanks a lot.
A big thank you goes out to Tom, Brandy, Sarah, and Clancy from Low Bridge for joining us on The Live Feed. Another big thank you goes out to all who made Boats and Bluegrass 2012 possible. More information on Low Bridge can be found on Facebook, and more information on Boats and Bluegrass can be found at www.boatsandbluegrass.com. You've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.